In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. There is a story told about Archbishop Desmond Tutu. Back in the days of apartheid, so the story goes, he was in a boat on a lake somewhere in South Africa. All of a sudden there was a shout. A little boy had fallen overboard and was in the water. Quick as a flash, Tutu jumped out of the boat, ran across the surface of the lake, grabbed the boy, and climbed back in the boat again. The next day, the headline in the government newspaper was, "Tutu can't swim." Thankfully, these days have passed in South Africa. But the attitude that this story illustrates still exists. It is the attitude that always looks for the negative, for whom the cup is never half full, but always half empty, for whom even the good news that we call the gospel is actually bad news. If you know your Goethe's Faust, you will remember that when the devil Mephistopheles first meets Dr. Faust, he introduces himself as Der Geist der Stets verneint. Everything about him is negative. He cannot tell the truth. He can only deceive. This is the nature of the devil Jesus struggles with in the desert. The one who tries to lead him astray and divert him from his true mission. And who or what is this devil? There are some strands of Christianity, not mine, I may add, that see the devil lurking everywhere and are ready to blame him for everything that goes wrong. The trouble with this is, it implies what we call a dualistic view of creation. That is to say, the world is in the grip of another being, another God even. It is what the devil said to Jesus in the desert there. The kingdoms of the world have been given to me. But after all, he never tells the truth, so. But this idea of there being two separate warring forces is a very ancient heresy that keeps coming back. In the teachings of the 12th century Cathars in France, for instance, the people that crop up in books by Dan Brown and people like that. Or indeed, it's the sort of thing you hear sometimes from Jehovah's Witnesses as well. But the biblical position is stated in Isaiah chapter 45, verse 7, where it says, "I am the Lord. I make both blessing and disaster. There is no other." And that opens up some powerful arguments about the nature of evil. Whether there are such things as necessary evils, or blessings in disguise, to put it another way. Arguments about God's redeeming purpose in bringing good out of evil. But that's for another time. Maybe during the Lent course this year, on Christ's cross and ours. But to return to Jesus' encounter with the devil in the wilderness, to me, this reads much more like an internal struggle to remain faithful to his calling? Will he do his Father's will at whatever cost? Or will he give in to the temptation to go for easy answers and the quick fix? Rather than thinking of the devil as an external person or thing whom we can blame when things go wrong, the devil told me to do it, we need to face up to the fact that the devil is often inside us, a part of our personalities, if you like, part of our reflex action to certain situations. It is ironic, isn't it, in our day, when most people do not believe in the devil, but when something goes wrong, they immediately ask, who is at fault? Who shall we blame? We live in what we call the blame culture. For instance, when horrific cases of child abuse happen, the press is quick to blame social workers. They become demonized for not preventing the tragedy. But little is said about the wickedness inside the people who do these horrible things, or the lack of publicity given to positive role models. This blame culture then leads to the attitude that no one can be trusted. You must always check up. You must always watch your back. Take steps so that no one can blame you. You must suspect everybody's motives. Look out for all possible risks and dangers. The starting point is you must assume everyone is up to no good. That is der Geist der Staatsvernunft in its modern form. And it isn't confined to the world of child protection and health and safety regulations. I mentioned earlier how the press, the media, are always on the lookout for a negative twist to every story. But let's not leave the blame with them, because that would be to fall into the same temptation ourselves. We all do it. Let us realize that. At times, all of us have blamed, complained, focused on the negative, on what was wrong. And we have done it not in an attempt to improve things or put things right, but to undermine and destroy. This Lent, let us resolve to change our ways. That is what repentance means. Let us resist the temptation to dwell on the negative and make a conscious effort to see the good, the positive in others and in situations that occur. To remind yourselves, have a look at our Lent calendar and the slogan inside. Love life, live Lent. Give up the negative, love life, live Lent. Amen.